If you will, turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Yes, it's in there. You may not have been there lately, but it's in there. 690 for you, Craig. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I want to talk to you today about the conclusion of the whole matter. That verse kind of hit me the other day when I was reading, and I thought about conclusion, and I'm going to try to separate some things in the Bible for you and bring forth some truth. In verse 7, he said, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." And of course, this is referring to the fact that living your life is vain, vanity, and then when it comes to the point, all people come to this point unless there's a truth revealed. And remember, there was a truth revealed in Paul that nobody knew anything about. He said, "We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together." That is a mystery that was revealed to Paul that he revealed in the Thessalonian letter that even Peter said, you know, some of the things Paul writes are hard to understand. So, you might not have to go to dust. Philippians chapter 3 says, "Who should change our vile body and fashion it so it didn't go in the grave?" It was changed. That was a verse that was totally unknown to the Israelites, given to Paul to give to the body of Christ. The body of Christ has that possibility. Every day of your life, if you're saved, there's a possibility that you won't die. You can be changed and caught up. And that's great, man, when you think about it. Now, verse 8, "Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity." And remember, the Ecclesiastes writer, the preacher, he looked at things and he examined things and he said, you know, when it comes down to it, all is vain anyway. Everything you do and whatever, it's like the monetary system. We're just moving things around is all we're doing. And in the scheme of the end result, it'll all go away or burn or dissolve or whatever. Verse 9, "And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out..." That's a redneck. It's fine. I'd rather have her doing that and not here. Should we wait for Henry or... Wait a minute. Anybody got a good joke? Hi! Alright, we'll go on and Henry can update her. Alright, the verse 10, "The preacher sought out to find acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The word of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the master of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh." Now, the study part is the weariness. Now, people can read a magazine, they can read a book all day long, but when you study the Bible, that's when the weariness. The flesh does not like the truths of the Bible. It's quite obvious. Well, in verse 13, "Let us hear the conclusion." Now, this is what I want to discuss. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Never forget that. That is a truth in Paul's writings even. Works good or bad will be judged. Every work into a judgment. Now, obviously, the Apostle Paul, if you follow his doctrine, your judgment is based on whether you receive or lose a reward. But when I think about the thing of the Bible, I kind of think of like this, and I think about the book of Colossians, which is the basis of the head. The Colossian letter speaks of the head and talks about the head, and it is the apex of Paul's writings. Why? Because You have the Roman letter here. You have 1 Corinthians here. You have 2 Corinthians here. You have Galatians here. You have Ephesians here. And you have Philippians here. And then you got 1 Thessalonians here. You got 2 Thessalonians here. You got 1 Timothy here. 2 Timothy here. You got Titus right here. And then you have Philemon. Now, each side has six. Six, the seventh in the middle. The Colossian letter is probably the most freedom-based head knowledge of any Bible book in the Bible. It is the most avoided by religion because there is total freedom in it. Total freedom in the book of Colossians. It is not Old Testament quotations. It is a total revelation of God. And it is the apex of the letters, the 13 letters of the Apostle Paul. Now, turn with me to Romans chapter 11. Now, the word conclusion in Ecclesiastes has to do with the end. Okay? In Romans chapter 11, there are things in the Bible that are based on things coming to an end. Now, if we come to a point when the body was to leave, the knowledge and the people that believed in that knowledge was to leave, then would that not be an end of something? Okay? We know that there was a handshake involved with Peter and Paul. We know that the message written by Paul is based on the grace of God, it's based on the dispensation of the grace of God, and it is based on the wisdom given unto Paul and revelation and knowledge, and there's a time when it'll come to an end and the catch out, being caught up, will occur, which is in Thessalonian letter. Now, in Romans chapter 11, I want to look at some conclusions of the whole matter. And I want to see how each thing comes to an end, and there's verses on it. In Romans 11, look with me in verse 32. All right? For God hath concluded, that's that conclusion, hath concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. There is a point in Bible history where no one believed. And it's right here. Right before the cross. He concluded them all in unbelief. If you look at Psalm 14, he said, God looked down from heaven and all men are going away from him. He said, there's none that seeketh him. There's none that understands. There's none that doeth good. There's none good. There's none righteous. Come to a point, okay? A righteous man hang on a cross, denied by his own, and that cross is the conclusion of their unbelief. Now look in verse 32 again, he said, for God had concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy on who? Upon all. So if all were in unbelief, then all could be saved. Turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. The will of God, the mystery of faith, the thing of the idea of deacons. Deacons had to have the mystery of faith and pure conscience. All right, 1 Timothy 2:4. Oh, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. How many would he have to be saved? Then he had to make provision for all, didn't he? Is there something that God couldn't save you from? If he can't, he lied. I want to ask you something. If you can be good, will God save you? If he did, he'd lie. He said there ain't nothing good. If he would save you for being good, why did Jesus Christ die? The book, you've got to believe the book either means what it says or it doesn't. Did he say, he concluded them all in unbelief, there is none that doeth good, there is none that seeketh, on and on and on. Okay? Most people believe you got to be good before God will give you salvation. That is not what the Bible says. All right, now watch. who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Four, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Mary cannot mediate. And as a biggest religion in the world, fool to think that they can pray through Mary or Joseph or someone else, it will not work. The Bible says it will not work. It is a lie. A religion based on a lie is not worship of God. All right, verse 6. Who gave himself a ransom for all. So, what does all have to answer for? What do all men have to answer for in judgment? Not believing what? In other words, they've got to answer for what they did. Isn't that the sum of the conclusion of all things of Ecclesiastes? Now, what if God took a time, instead of you having to answer for what you did, someone answered for you? Wouldn't that take a load off of you? Okay? So, who did he give himself a ransom for all? All. Right? But look at the time in verse 6. So there was a time when that would be spoken of. How many, think about the Colossian letter. How many people in the Colossian letter, who are the Colossians? There's something that amazes me in the Scripture. Paul never went to Colossae. Now that's got to mean something. He's never come to visit me. How many of you have seen Paul lately? I know two Pauls. I know three Pauls. One of them's dead and one of them's alive. Two of them's alive. How many had the Apostle Paul in your house for breakfast this morning? But yet, he's got a letter to you that told you something that is so important. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. That denies the preachers today. Now, the preacher is to speak out truthful and right words, is he not? Now, watch this. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, how many of you ever walked the aisle for Jesus? I did. Why did you walk it? Because you thought you were wrong and you wanted to get in the good graces of God and join the church, didn't you? All right, now, is there something that could be preached against you today that you've done this week? Romans 3:4 to Henry. Let God be true and every man a liar. Is there something that could be preached on you that might get you? Is there something in Galatians chapter 5 that would get you the works of the flesh? So if it got you, and that was what God wanted to do, God wanted to get you with it, then you'd be condemned, wouldn't you? All right, Colossians 1:21. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. You'd think about it, and the preacher would be up there just hammering on you and tell you, hey, you don't quit this and don't quit that and do this and don't do that. And you'd be sitting there going, I did that. What am I going to do? Okay? Just a common thought. Down here at the Church of God down here by the railroad tracks, the preacher's leaving. I told Kathy, I said, this is amazing to me. There's three things that tells me. Number one, the man is saying, I don't have any more things to preach to you. So the Bible is exhaustible. Number two, they don't have the capacity to learn anymore, so I need to leave. Or three, there's more money where I'm going. I'd say all three of them are the truth. And the people sitting there going, we'll miss you, but why are you leaving us? What was his name? Henry? Henry something here?
Yeah, he left.
He left. And the Lord told him to go to the bigger church. Yeah. And I know some people are hurt about some people that moved down there to be with him. You bet I wouldn't move one inch to go with him. When I came to Selma, I told every Bible class I had, I said, I will not quit coming. I'll be there just like I always am. And I drove. And I'm like, hey, I've been driving 17 years. And I don't see any need to leave here except if you want me to leave. Folks, the Bible is inexhaustible. It's not a matter of, we got to change our ways. No, we got to grow with it. The Colossians in Colossae never had the visit of Paul like Philippians did at Philippi. The Ephesians did at Ephesus. The Thessalonians had in Thessalonians. He was there in Galatia, Bithynia. I mean, he was all that. But he didn't go to Colossae. Because this letter is writing. Did I hear something? The Colossian letter is based on a truth to all men. Now watch. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. How did he reconcile them? In the body of his flesh through death. To present you how? Oh my God, the Colossians are reading their letter and going, oh my God, we've been presented holy without blame before him in love. Turn to chapter 2, verse 10. And you are complete in him. Okay, what do the Colossians now figure they ought to do? Well, complete don't mean complete, does it? When you try to present to people that they're complete in Christ, they say, but what do I need to do? Nothing. The relaxation, the ability to get through this miserable thing called the world, is to be able to walk in his good works. To be complete in him, knowing that it's not a reason that God's going to get me because of what I am. He knew what I am, and he let his son die for me. And to present that message to someone else might let them see the truth and be happy about it too. The Colossians, don't you know they love this letter? Don't you know when they read this letter, they're going, amen, praise God, hallelujah. Now watch verse 10. And you're complete in him, which is the head of all principality. There's the head. Right there. Okay? He's the head of all principalities and powers. All right, then, what do I have to worry about principalities and powers? Who's the head? I believe, then, that Romans would probably come into effect in Romans 8:31. Are you familiar with 8:31, or do you need to turn there for directions? Go to 8:31 if you need the directions. Hold on to Colossians. Go to Romans 8:31 and see what it says. What does it say? Who be there? Greg, go ahead. Greg, who is? Can't read what is about 38, verse 38. What does it start out? Okay, go ahead and read. Who's the head? Okay, back in Colossians. Thanks, Greg. Verse 11. Okay, somebody said, well, you need to get circumcised. Okay, that'll be kind of rough for you ladies, but verse 11. In whom also you are with the circumcision made without hands. And that is impossible with a doctor. He will use his hands. Otherwise, he's some kind of weirdo. Then what's the circumcision without hands? What did Jesus Christ do at Calvary? What did God cut him away from? His body. His soul left. It's like being cut away from the life thing that he had. He was walking physically on the earth. He had the eyesight you did, the touch, see, and feel that you have, the motions, the mentality that you had. He didn't want to die, folks. Nobody wants to die when you're living. Solomon is telling you in Ecclesiastes, here's the sum of the conclusion. We're all going to die. It's all vanity. But there is a conclusion to it. He says, fear God and keep the commandments. Okay? Paul tells us that he has a knowledge that says we're already complete in Christ. We're circumcised with a circumcision made without hand. Why? We have been crucified with Christ, cut away from our old body in Christ, been buried and raised a new creature. Holy and without blame before Him in love. Okay? Now, verse 12. Buried with Him in baptism. So next time somebody says, we've got to get baptized. I already am. Right? Buried with Him. You don't look buried. Now, sometimes you look a little dead looking. What did God in His mind do? He buried you. Why are you digging up? Think about a man confessing his sins to the Lord. He's digging up what he is. God don't need to be reminded what you is. He knew what you is. All right? Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with Him through the faith, the operation of God. Folks, if I'm going to claim baptism there, I'm also going to have to claim risen. So they say, when you went in the water, came out. A new creature. Is that why you keep sinning like you do? And they never explained to you, except they were taking you Matthew 28, Mark 16. But they didn't explain Mark 16 to you because they were afraid to. Because the signs were supposed to follow you. Those signs in Mark 16 are exactly what it says. Take up servants, drink any deadly thing. These signs should follow them that believe. So, Henry, did those signs follow you? Then you didn't believe. See, I can convince you, I can take you to the scripture and say, well, here you need to get rebaptized. You need to believe more. Brother, you didn't believe enough when you got baptized. Them signs didn't follow you. If the verse is ours, but it ain't. These signs should follow them that believe. I wonder who really needs signs. The Jews. And that's a Jewish passage all the way. Folks, when I got baptized, I got two things, wet and embarrassed. Well, mine didn't take anyway because I was a Baptist and they baptized me in a Church of Christ Baptist because the pool, they didn't have one in the Baptist church. So that meant it was a non-effect anyway, so whatever. And you know the big argument, the thief on the cross, is that he must have gotten baptized before he was on the cross. Well, ain't he a sinner? Got baptized, now he's a thief. Old arguments don't hold water, folks. I mean, we're talking about Wednesday night. It don't hold water. A cistern that's broke don't hold water. That stuff don't hold water with me. Okay? So, in verse 12, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also risen with Him through the faith, the operation of God, who raised Him. Who's Him? The Lord Jesus. From the dead, and you being dead in your sins and uncircumcised in your flesh. Oh my gosh! It just said that these Colossians were circumcised. Then it goes into verse 13 and says, you're uncircumcised where? So is he going to tell them to go out and get circumcised? Then he's going to tell them to go out and get baptized also, ain't he? But he ain't. He said, you being dead in your sins and uncircumcised in your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you what? In what state? Uncircumcised. If you don't think that, don't grab the whole world. The Jews were the only people circumcised with a religious circumcision. Americans did it for cleanliness in the 50s and 60s and 70s. I mean, they did that a lot. But that had nothing to do with religion, folks. Religion in a Jew, he had to be circumcised the eighth day. If he wasn't circumcised a male child, he was cut away from his people. And Paul made emphasis in the book of Philippians. He said, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. Hebrew of the Hebrews. It meant something in a covenant. We're not in a covenant. We're in Christ. Are you with me? Now go back. In Romans 11. Verse 32 again. For God had concluded them all in unbelief, that He might have mercy upon all. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. The conclusion, the sum of the matter. In Galatians chapter 3. Verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ have been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive you the spirit of the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? There has been a conclusion done for you. In the spirit, you're everything the Colossian letter said you are. And look with me in Romans chapter 3. In Romans 3, we come to another conclusion. In Romans chapter 3, verse 28. He said, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Well, that would be the law. Is he not also the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, we establish the law. Yea, we establish the law. You know what the law said? There's none good. You know what faith says? I died for all. I gave myself a ransom for all. That's what Jesus Christ did. To be testified in due time, so there's a conclusion of a time, then another time begins. And that time is called grace. Now, look with me in Acts 21. I hope I'm making sense to you. Folks, listen, man. These things, the conclusion of all things, the Ecclesiastes preacher saw, hear God, keep the commandments. Paul says there's a conclusion here. In Acts 21, look with me in verse 25. He said, as touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, from blood, from strangled, and from fornication. Now that sounds like something has to be done, don't it? Turn to Colossians. The book of Colossians, again, the head of it all. And look in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. He says, blotting out. You know, have you ever wrote anything down and then you say, I don't need that, and you mark through with an ink pen. You try to blot it out, you know, whatever. All right, he says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. Those were four ordinances you read that the Gentiles needed to keep during the time that the Jews were being dealt with, that were against us, which were contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them, openly triumphing over them in it, that's the cross. Let no man therefore judge you in meat. What's the great preaching of the preachers today? They preach on alcohol. Some people say, I won't go anywhere they sell alcohol. I say, well, you're going to get mighty hungry because the drugstore sells alcohol. I mean, there are people so self-righteous and self-sanctimonious that they say, I wouldn't go anywhere and I wouldn't let a drop of alcohol touch my lips and will take NyQuil till it goes out. And NyQuil's got about as much alcohol as Jack Daniels does. And then they wonder how they're feeling good. Well, folks, I know I ain't got nothing to do with your standing and your state. You're standing before God, holy without blame. If you're a believer, your state is you're a sinner. Reckon God knew that? He said, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinance, took it out of the way, and then the cross, verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink. Well, then there's somebody going to judge you in it. You were judged on Fridays. You had to eat fish, and you never, probably even never knew, and you were being judged by it. Catholic Church. Okay? Meat, or in drink, or in respect to holy day. I had my blower this morning going, and out here blowing stuff away, you know, people drive out of here. What's he doing on Sunday? Had a pair of shorts on, no socks, shoes, you know. One day I got in late on Saturday, so I mowed on Sunday morning. I don't care. Come and talk to me about it. We might open the Bible, and we'll see what happens. He said, drink, respect the holy days, new moon. You're getting that. Now, you're coming to that this month. When's Easter? On the new moon, ain't it? What is it, usually the end of March, the first weekend in April, whatever the first new moon is, whatever it is. Okay, new moon or the Sabbath days. This ain't the Sabbath, folks. If you want a Sabbath day, pick a day that's best for you when you're not working and say, this is my rest day. God don't care if there is no Sabbath days now. Why? The Jews are not in predominance now. Sabbath day based under the law and on, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. See the emphasis? The body is of Christ. Okay? Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility. Oh, thank you, God, I'm not like other men are. Isn't that what the Pharisee said? I think I'm not like that publican back there. That publican probably mowed his yard on Sunday. Oh, my God, I saw him drinking the other day. Dancing. Oh, my God, he was at Tunica. He went fishing on Sunday. Them fishing a bit. Worshipping of what? Then they're around, and they like for you to worship them. Worshipping them by angels. Boy, old Michael Landon loved them, didn't he? He loved them angels, man. What he really liked is what they were paying him to love them angels. Okay? It always reminds me of all the baseball clubs. A lot of them are named after angelics and stuff like that, and animals and all that. We were watching a movie yesterday. I sat down. I've been out mowing everything. I was trying to cool off, and I went in and sat and watched a movie with Kathy for a minute, and I said, I've had enough of this. It's about Hindus. And they were taking a bath. And if you've ever been to India, looked at pictures of India, that's the nastiest place you ever imagined, man. And they're out there washing themselves and washing their cow right next to them. Why are they washing that cow? Because that's their God. Listen. If I'm hungry, Bossy is no longer a cow. It's a steak. And if it's Grandma and Grandpa, they're good. And can't dig the worms up because of Dalai Lama. Oh, that worm could be my grandmother. Well, she's ugly. Slimy, too. I mean, they make, and these actors, see, they make big deals out of it. Brad Pitt, 7 years in Tibet. I mean, Richard Gere is a Buddhist. There she's making a Hindu movie. I mean, they make it out to all be right. Folks, that ain't nothing but godly, ungodly idolatry. It ain't right, folks. And I look at it, I know this movie, whatever. Just because Julia Roberts is in it don't mean nothing. Who is she? She's nobody. So, worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And not holding what? Just for a second. Everybody, look right here. Go. Do you know why Colossians ain't taught? It's the head. This is head knowledge, folks. Head knowledge given to the whole world. Why? Due time. Testified in due time. He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. It don't matter whether you're circumcised. It don't matter whether you're a drunk. It don't matter whether you're a male or female. It don't matter whether you go to church or if you ever been to church. It don't matter where you live. It don't matter how you dress. It don't matter nothing. Christ died for your sins. He was buried and He rose again the third day and God saved you. If you want that salvation, it's yours. If you don't, you will answer for not taking it. Okay? So the conclusion there is to think about the ordinances are gone. All right? Now, look in Romans 11. Now, I find a conclusion of time here. God, did God conclude all Israel, especially in unbelief? Okay? It's not really a hard problem to conclude all the Gentiles in unbelief. They were in unbelief anyway. They were without God, without Christ, without hope. But the Jews had the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But he concluded them all in unbelief. They all walked away. They did not follow him. They followed the Gentiles' gods, the new gods brought up. They had married their children. They had given their children. And they were following idols and the things that the Gentiles had. And God had warned them time and time again by the prophets. They kept killing the prophets. So finally sent his son. They killed his son. He concluded them all in unbelief. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And they didn't. And in Romans 11, verse 5, after the ideology of Elias, look with me in verse 2. Well, verse 1, I say, then God cast away his people. If you were God, would you have cast them away? Just killed your son. But he followed the plea of God, of his son, Jesus, for Father, forgive them. So he didn't cast them away. But he's bringing up something to a conclusion. Verse 2, God not cast away his people which he foreknew. Now, foreknowledge then refers to somebody that he knows. Why? Because he also said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. So you got somebody he knew, somebody didn't know. Somebody knew, somebody didn't know. Well, what was the difference? He didn't know worked iniquity. Somebody didn't, that he knew, didn't. What is iniquity? Follow your finger, go to Isaiah 1. $6.95. We're all going to have to get the same Bible in here. I know a class that did it. They have done that now. And so the preacher just calls it out. Isaiah chapter 1. In the Old Testament, when God was dealing with Israel, did he tell them sacrifices to be made for certain sins? Did he tell them when to appear? Did he tell them to do this? Now, in all of that, it was about the fact of the knowledge of sin. Why? If you have the law, what do you have the knowledge of? You got the knowledge of sin. All right, in Isaiah chapter 1, he writes to them and he says in verse 10, Isaiah prophet sent to Israel 66 chapters, as in a 66 book King James. Isaiah talks about things, and if you start reading it, it's kind of divided up like the Bible is. And you get to verse 10, he said, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom, give ear unto the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. He's not talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, the city. He's talking about these people, these Jews that are acting like Sodom and Gomorrah. And they are. Okay? Verse 11. So what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Can you tell me why a person went to church today? Supposed to. Where'd you find that in the Bible? Now watch. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams, the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or he goes. Lord, you said to offer them up. For what? For a specific sin. What if you take that and then just start doing it, not recognizing your sin, you're doing it in the worship of God? Aren't you shedding innocent blood? Now watch. When you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand to tread my courts? You never invited them. You see, Paul and Stephen both were stoned because they said, this is not the temple of the Most High. This is a block building with wood inside. It means nothing to God except it's here. It is not the house of God. This is a temple made with hands, and it means nothing that way. The reason we get to use it is it's paid for. Somebody owns it, probably the government, and we don't know it. We get to come in here and study. We have compliments of Harold Page, we got some soft seats. Some people take the penance seats that don't have the cushions. Some people bring their cushions. Some double their cushions because they got to have a softer seat. This is not the temple of the Most High. Now, God did not invite you here. Probably somebody invited you here. But God didn't invite you here. He didn't invite you here to come to the house of God. He invited you to come study what? His Word. Okay? Now, verse 13. Bring no more vain oblations. Oblation is a gift. When I was raised in a Baptist church, it was called a love offering, a gift, when they put it in the plate. But now, you didn't have no plate in the back. It got put in front of you. Maybe twice. They didn't have enough. Okay? I'll tell you a little story, if you'll allow me. I have a bucket, a coffee bucket, that the classes have. Some people just wad their bills up real tight so you don't know what it is. But I know who does it. And we were running a little short this week. And I was cleaning the back of my truck behind my seat, and the coffee can was laying there. And bless your soul, a $100 bill had fell out. And I gave it to my wife while I'm gone. I have to give her money when I leave. She's got to live and whatever. I said, the Lord laid this aside for you. She looked at me kind of weird, you know. And I said, it's been riding in that truck all week, or I'd have spent it. No. Verse 13. Bring no more vain oblations. And what was the Ecclesiastes sum of vanity? Vain oblations. Incense is what? Do you know religions that are based on incense? What did it say? The new moons, Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is... Are you dead? Did you read that? What's iniquity? Everything your neighbor's doing in church. Even the solemn meetings. The solemn meeting. When I was a boy, you didn't talk in church. You didn't raise your hand. You didn't ask questions. You didn't know what the back rooms were. You had to come in, file in, sit down, and then leave. The meeting was solemn. You know, you sit there and God is in here with us in His place. And there was a solemn meetings. Your new moons, your appointed feast, my soul what? I want to hear it. I want you to hear it. I want to hear you say it. Hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. What is iniquity? Am I going to read it again to you? What's iniquity? It's religious service without God appointing it. Ask somebody, why are you going to church? What are you supposed to? Well, what did you do there? Well, I went to the house of God on the Sabbath day. Really? Well, what's Easter about? Well, He rose, but why isn't it the same day every year? Well, it's after the new moon. Well, that could be the end of March or the first of April or whatever. I said, the Jewish months are set up on months, on the months, and their first month is April. June, May, June, July, that's their month. Their time is set up different. 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. is a Jewish day. What do we got? 12 a.m. My day starts when I'm asleep. What a ripoff. That's a ripoff, folks. And you cannot count Bible time by Gentile time. And all this is set up. I'm supposed to go on Sunday, the Sabbath day, when Friday 6 to Saturday 6 is the Sabbath day. In Jewish time. And I go on Sunday, it's the first day of the week, and I'm actually working on the Sabbath. On Saturday. And according to the Old Testament, if I work on the Sabbath, I'm going to be stoned to death. You see what kind of mix-up it is? And everything they do is iniquity. The conclusion of it all is, we're not under it. Now watch, look in Acts 13. I want Acts 13, and Romans 9. All right, in Acts 13, verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached in you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. What if you kill somebody? What if you break the Sabbath? What if you don't love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Or use the Lord's name in vain? You're justified already. Try convincing people of that. Because here's the conclusion. Look in verse 40. Beware therefore lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Beware, behold, ye despisers and wondering perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Now watch. In Romans 9, look with me in verse 28. In Romans 9, 28. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Turn to 2 Corinthians, chapter 6. The true blessing of the Lord for us in the conclusion of some of fact. There's a time when all Israel will be saved, according to Romans chapter 11. What takes that? What brings that conclusion in? He said, when the fullness of the Gentiles become in. In Romans chapter 11, he says there is a remnant now according to the election of grace of Jews. When that time came in, he destroyed the temple. Titus came in about AD 68 or 70, destroyed the temple. Signs stopped, tongues ceased, prophecy failed. Paul fulfilled the Word of God, wrote it down, the Colossians being the head of it, the knowledge brought in. And when all Israel would be saved is when that is finished. Well, the conclusion of the dispensation of grace. We could be close. Who knows? I couldn't tell you. There's no way to know it. But it could be close because of the way people believe today. But now watch. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1. We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Don't you understand the grace of God is letting you be born in the 20th century or the 21st? Paul said, I thank God who separated me from my mother's womb. Birth is a miraculous thing. But to be born and God giving you a chance to see and hear the truth. Now watch. Parentheses. For he saith, I've heard thee in a time accepted. Then there is a time when God will listen to us. And he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. He helped you. You know how he did it? Please God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He gave gifts unto men. Those men were brought forth. When God called me to preach, and it wasn't an audible call, it was a thing, a knowledge that was just there, I couldn't believe He would want me to do that. Again, I was alienating enemies in my mind, but wicked works. He would say, why will your relatives not get it? Because they know you. But he called me to preach, and I said, Lord, my God, what in the world could I do? I can't do anything. The Word does it. God Almighty's Word is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, a divider and asunder. Man, I mean, it can hack you up and put you back together and heal you. But it'll go right down to the midst of you and tell you what's wrong. And when it does, it also gives you that healing to let you know, I forgave you. You're mine if you won't let me. I'll take care of you if you acknowledge that. I've been taking care of you even though you didn't acknowledge it. You see, the world's been taken care of by God and didn't even know it. You know, World War II was won because God let it be won. Did America deserve to win? No, no more than anybody else. Somebody said when they had them great hurricanes went up the East Coast, he said, and it hit, what's those beaches up there in Virginia? Myrtle Beach and all them. And there was a guy in Panama told me, he said, they deserve it. They're sinners. I said, really? What about San Francisco? How about New York? How about Panama City? How about Selma? Aren't we all sinners? You don't get something because you deserve it. That's Ecclesiastes. There's time and purpose for all things. It happens. But the idea here is, here's the day right now that you're living, God will hear you. And when He hears you, look what it says. I've circled thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, because you don't know what tomorrow brings. God concluded and brought forth a time called the dispensation of grace when you could be born and somewhere in your life somebody deal with you. One of the saddest things I've seen in the last few days is I went up to camp this week and it's fallen in. And the kitchen you can't even recognize and the tabernacle you can't recognize. And you can't see the girls' barracks for the pine trees, the little ones. And you got to just kind of, I just rode around on the bike I was on and just kind of looked at everything and everything falling in. And I think of all the blessed work that had been done there through the years and the people that heard the truth. That time is done. Let us go on. Let us advance to somebody we know and tell them that Jesus Christ died for their sins. I hear some of the silliest things from people coming out of their mouth about their church and everything else. Make me sick. God is not impressed with your church. He's not impressed with your dress or your code. He's impressed with His Son. His Son died for our sins. And His Son gave us the right to eternal life if we'll just conclude, come to that conclusion that God knew us and gave His Son for us. And He's satisfied in His Son. We're complete, perfect in Him. Trust it. Now's your time. Tomorrow you may be dead. Tomorrow you may be sick. I thank God for the seal of God because of Alzheimer's and other things. That won't stop you. You know, somebody goes, what if I don't remember anymore? God does. And you know the truth in the Bible is He cannot deny Himself. You know how much God has helped you in spite of you? He helps you because He cannot deny Himself. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried and He rose again the third day, and God Almighty accepts that. Do you? That's up to you. It's strictly up to you. I appreciate you being here.